The last of our talks together on Isaac, number 5, thinking about his blessing. If you were to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, which is a great chapter of faith, you will find that this incident is mentioned in verse 20. The words of that verse read, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." The only thing recorded, as far as Isaac is concerned, in that chapter, and having read the story together this morning, we might have said to ourselves, well, how on earth does all this become credited to the fact that it was by faith? And we think of this as we go through our talk this morning. You will notice that the incident comes when Isaac is an old man expecting to die, that this blessing is to be given to his son. And yet this is the one significant thing that the Holy Spirit records regarding this man, that in his old age, in his declining years, by faith he did something which was in the purposes of God. In other words, although his physical sight was deteriorating, so he's almost blind, there was a spiritual sight which was as keen as ever. And whilst his physical powers were going downhill, yet he was still strong so far as his spiritual life is concerned. And we need to take encouragement from this, and indeed to seek that as we go on into advancing years, our spiritual lives should be maintained, that we don't, as it were, just decline, but rather that because of life's experiences, because of the experiences of God within our life's experience, we are all the stronger at the end of the journey for the things of God. We are concerned here with the privilege and responsibility of the patriarchal blessing. This is not confined to the Jewish people, of course, because these people as such were not the children of Israel yet, though Abraham, of course, was the Hebrew. It was a great responsibility for the head of the household, as well as his final privilege, to pronounce this blessing upon the sons. We have this awful story of deceit on the part of his wife, Rebekah, the mother of these twins. A story which is so well known, but yet one which we need to see, that the character of Jacob, encouraged by his mother, indeed initiated by his mother, is brought out to the fore. You'll notice that he says, "I will seem to him as a deceiver if I do this." Of course he was a deceiver. He comes into his father, and his father said, "Who are you?" And immediately he tells a lie. "I'm Esau, thy firstborn." And later on, verse 24, Isaac says again, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And again, outright lie, Jacob says, "I am." And when Isaac queries the fact that it's been so quick, such a swift hunt, since he gave instructions to Esau, Jacob takes that very, very hypocritical attitude and says, "I found it quickly because the Lord thy God brought it to me." What a terrible story this is. And yet we read that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Strange indeed is all this. As we look at the blessing that was given, and you'll notice, of course, that in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, the order is very carefully preserved. God blessed, or Isaac blessed, Jacob and Esau. This is the way in which the blessing was carried out. But we also have to remind ourselves that this blessing was usually couched in temporal terms, in material things, and the blessing is therefore concerning his prosperity upon the earth. It was an important family occasion, usually. It was a very solemn thing, usually reserved almost to the deathbed of the father. And, of course, the greater blessing would always go to the eldest son. I want you to notice first and foremost, as Isaac's blessing was prophetic. It was prophetic. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Not concerning the present. Not concerning what had happened so far as the division of his estate was concerned. The birthright was concerned with that. We mustn't mix the two. The birthright was what Esau had sold when he came in hungry on a previous occasion. Jacob had sold it for food. Jacob had bought it, rather, for food. Esau had given his birthright, the right of being the elder of the two sons, just for satisfaction of the meal we saw last week. But now you'll notice that there is this blessing, this prophetic blessing. It wasn't just a prayer. It wasn't just a sort of pious hope. It wasn't just the sort of crystallizing of the hopes that Isaac had for his sons. It wasn't any of this. It was something that was of the Holy Spirit that was operative only by faith. You'll notice in verse 28, let's read the two verses again. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, blessed be he that blesseth thee. And we know, of course, if we followed through the story of Jacob, how literally this was fulfilled. Times that he served with Laban away in the wilderness there looking after sheep, and how he came back from that servitude, the married man with Leah and Rachel and with multitude of flocks and herds that he gathered there. Also, if we like to remind ourselves, there had been a tremendous spiritual upheaval in his life. And later on, we find the blessing is continued. For one of the sons of Jacob was Joseph, sold into Egypt, and there he had power, there he had prosperity after his suffering, and there he had dominion, the prime minister of Egypt, with all the authority that was his then. And you'll notice that this particular blessing goes on down through the centuries. For those children of Israel who came out of Egypt and then into Canaan, of course, and right down through the centuries, you have the blessing that was given to Jacob on this occasion by Isaac being fulfilled. Material prosperity is certainly not unknown among the Jewish people. The control of money markets in the world, the fact that they have persisted down through the years. Don't want to go much into this because we've seen it on other occasions. But there is this awful promise and this awful warning. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And this is still true. This was prophetic, this blessing. It was something that was beyond the lifetime of Jacob, beyond the lifetime of Joseph, beyond the lifetime of Moses, right down through the years. This is true. That God blesses those who bless his people, and there is retribution coming for those who are injurious to the chosen people of God. Russia and Germany have experienced something of this as a result of their deeds. Now, we have already seen that this was not just a glib lot of talk. This is something that was a prophetic, inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of this fact, it is by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You'll notice that there is a blessing for Esau, for all the sons would receive a blessing, although it is in inferior terms. It's very much of the same line of thought, of course, in verse 39. It was all concerned with the fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven. Verse 40, by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. So here again is the prophecy of the changeover of the order of these two lads. When thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And yet, as we see in that verse 40, there is this idea of friction, of hatred between the two. And when we turn to Amos, we find that this is true. Amos chapter 1, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, Edom being another name for the descendants of Esau, I will not turn away the punishment, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, did cast off all pity, his anger did tear perpetually, he kept his wrath forever. So even Amos later on is prophesying that the descendants of Isaac are going to be, the descendants of Esau, Edom, are going to be in a position of hatred as against Isaac and Jacob, particularly in Jacob. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The Holy Spirit was in this. Second thing I want us to see, which is obvious, and that is that Isaac's blessing was a big, big mistake. A mistake. The story is all about deceit. It's all about Isaac being taken in. He wasn't doing what he intended to do. He has sent for Esau, the first of the twins to be born. He has given instructions regarding the meal. And when it's served, he comes and questions the identity. He has to be so very sure of this. It's such a solemn occasion that when he hears a voice which he thinks is Jacob's voice, and then is assured that it's Esau, he has to make sure by feeling the rough skin of the hunter, the smell of the field upon him. He has to be most sure about this, because this blessing was such a serious thing that it must be pronounced in all solemnity and on the right person. And Isaac obviously thought that the person upon whom he was bestowing his final patriarchal blessing was none other than Esau. But he was wrong. His sight was dim, he couldn't see. He was deceived by all the ways in which Rebekah had got together with Jacob. And it might seem also almost as if he had forgotten the early days, the days when the child was, before the children were born, where the Lord said to Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Or whether Rebekah kept this to herself, we don't know. He must have known about the selling of the birthright and knew that Esau was no longer in that position. How dare Isaac bless Esau if God had already revealed the purposes of God, his own purposes to him? The blessing seems to have been a terrible mistake. He intended these words for Esau, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, blessed be he that blesseth thee. And he thought he was speaking to Esau. Esau, the man who treated things so lightly, the man who was prepared to sell his birthright, as we saw, for the meal when he was hungry. It was a mistake. But you see, there were others involved. There was Rebekah and Jacob hatching up this plot which was so despicable. Rebekah, who knew this promise of the younger having dominion over the elder. There is all the way in which the birthright had been obtained. And yet, They set out on this course. They knew what God had said, but they thought that they would go about it and make sure of it. And so Isaac is trapped into making this mistake. And Jacob is shown as one who was well aware of the instigation of Rebekah. He was well aware of what he was doing. And Rebekah had behind her mind this idea of helping God to do what he had said he would do. How strange it all seems. Trying to work God's plans out for him. If we're not careful, we often try to do this. Instead of going God's way, we think he needs help. One of the results of this blessing being given to Jacob and all this deception taking place, one of the results is that Jacob's name has been sullied for the whole of posterity. Everybody looking back to Jacob will remember, and we all remember, that he was a supplanter. As we learn in the Sunday school, the stories of the Old Testament, we all remember these two stories. They stand out. We might recall the experience at Bethel where he saw the ladder set up to heaven. We might remember vaguely something about Peniel where he wrestled with the angel. But by and large, these things will come to our minds. These things of Jacob which were so dishonoring to God. Such a terrible way of going about things. And so far as Isaac was concerned, it seems the blessing was a mistake. And then we turn to another side of the picture. Because we see that Isaac's blessing was overruled. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, one of the things that we need to know about this blessing is not only that it had this spiritual quality, that it wasn't just a matter of wishful thinking or of prayer or of hoping that the lad's career would be in such a line. We need to see that once this blessing was given, it was irrevocable. It couldn't be taken back and it couldn't be altered. It was done, and as we would say in law, it was signed, sealed and delivered. It was secure. Verse 34, Esau, when he heard these words of his father, the words of verse 33, before thou camest, I have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And Esau said, well, what about me? Bless me, O my father. He knew, and Isaac knew, that once this prophetic and patriarchal blessing had been given, nothing could alter it. It was something which had been pronounced, as it were, with the authority of God by the Father, and it could not be retracted. A most solemn thing in the life of these people. And Esau perhaps suddenly realizes what he's lost. He realizes that he's lost the birthright in verse 36. Jacob's got a good name, he says. The name of supplanter, why, he's done it twice already. He's taken my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. He's rightly named Esau, realizing what he's got, what he's lost. In the first place, of course, we saw last week that the record in Hebrews speaks about Esau as being a profane person because he undervalued the birthright. He failed to hold it in a spiritual value. He failed to appreciate what it truly meant. And now suddenly in his life it seems there's dawned that he has given away something which at the time seemed to be so trivial, but now is all important. But it cannot be set back. And you read about Isaac here trembling. Isaac trembled very exceedingly when Esau reveals who he is. And says, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me and have eaten? I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. yea, and he shall be blessed. I wonder whether we're right in reading this as mere anger on the part of Isaac. And whether this is the real sort of setting of this. He would have naturally been angry concerning this. He would naturally be most irate concerning the deception of Jacob, and to discover that Esau has not received the blessing that he intended. But I wonder whether this trembling was a discernment of the hand of God, bearing in mind the spiritual quality of this blessing. I wonder whether he suddenly sees that he has bestowed something which in his intention would have been on Esau, but in God's intention is on Jacob. Perhaps here we have the meaning of the word that it is by faith that he blessed these two. Because you see, God's line of choice is now to be through Jacob. Remember last week we saw in Romans how Paul speaks about Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And God is overruling what this old man is doing. This old man who has the perception by faith of a blessing and yet gives it to the wrong person. God is overruling. God steps in with his divine choice, with his divine foreknowledge, with his divine election of this man. And maybe Isaac suddenly realizes that he's had the hand of God upon him. Even in the time of making a mistake, God has overruled. And of course you find this coming out in the life of Jacob's children. For when Jacob's boy Joseph comes and brings his two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, there is a seeming mistake in the same setting of this. There is a changing over there of the elder and the younger, and the identity of them. How marvelous the ways of God are in the overruling of all this. You see, Isaac, it seems, was on the point of frustrating the will of God. For God had already set his finger upon Jacob, through whom will be descended the Jewish people from the centuries. So by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We need to learn the lessons. We need to walk in the way of God. We need to be those who discover the way of God and know his will and know his purposes and know his pathways. And then allow him to do it in his way, not like Rebecca and Jacob work it out our way. And we need to be those who walk by faith in such a way that we know that God's overruling hand is upon us. God's ways are being worked out through our lives. And we wake up, keep awake to the working out of God's plans so that we are obedient always to his heavenly vision. So we close the life of Isaac, this lad born of promise, this lad almost offered literally, but offered by faith by Abraham, this one who on his deathbed earned the right to be recorded as one of those who walked by faith.